the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. Shreveport Fire Department Battalion Chief with Task Force 3, Chris Burden, joining us. Chris, good morning. Thanks for joining us. There we are. Yes, sir. Thanks for jumping on with us this morning. Tell us now, you've got a team heading to Texas for flood relief efforts. Where are you guys heading this morning?
We're checking in Bryan, Texas.
Explain how you were called to help. How does that process work, Chris?
So last year we sent a team to Texas for the floods last year, and what they did this time was they called prior to sending out EMACs asking what the state of Louisiana had available. So we were able to field two Type 3 Swiftwater teams, the one from Shreveport and one from Baton Rouge. Once we found out that what their needs were, we started rostering a team, and everything was kind of, we're still gathering stuff together, still getting our minds what we need to take, but we can't start packing or loading until we get the official request.
And what are those needs? What are you expecting when you get there?
We're going to be doing swift water rescues. And some of that, they've been doing swift water rescues for the last 2 days in South Texas. So we'll be backfilling with them and following thunderstorms as they pop up. And because they've had so much rain, there's not really a very good runoff. So it magnifies really fast. So we'll follow, if we're not actively doing rescues in a certain location, they'll have us following storms around in case it does start flash flood.
For those who don't know the Swift Water team, and describe the equipment you're taking with you.
We're taking seven people, two boats, which are, they're new Wally boats, but they're inflatable, Zodiac inflatable equipment. They're designed for swift water rescue. The personal PPE, will have swift water vest, dry suits. We'll have throw bags. We'll be able to build systems if we have to do some type of rope rescue on the water without the boats. The only thing that we don't have capability of is helicopter rescue.
Okay.
Now you're going to be basing in Bryan, Texas. Are you going to be going out to other areas from Bryan?
I would imagine. I haven't talked to the DIV supervisor yet, but I would imagine that once we check in Bryan, they'll let us know where we're heading from there.
Is it possible, Chris, that this could be recovery efforts of people who didn't make it through? Could that be part of this too? Or is your focus going to be on rescuing people who still need help?
We'll start off on rescue, but then it could change to a recovery. It just depends on the circumstance.
And I say this to you and to your entire team. My heart goes out to you, and my thanks goes out to you from our community, because you don't know what you're in for. And you just picked up your life. You guys just picked up your life and put it on hold and said, I'm going to go and do what I need to do. What makes a person like that, like you?
Most of the guys on the team, they have families. They don't want their families to have to go through the same thing. Anytime that we have something here, the other states, they're willing to come help. Texas comes and helps all the time. Florida, South Carolina, all the states that we've been to, when we send out the same request, I mean, they're knocking down the door to come help. So we're just trying to do the same and help them anytime we can.
And when you say swift water rescue, I can only imagine the kind of training you guys go through. Y'all are great swimmers. You're comfortable in the water. You know what to expect in the water. How much training have these guys all been through to do this kind of stuff?
We have to do swim tests prior to the actual class, but everybody that's deploying has gone through awareness operations and the technician level for swift water and a boat operator's class.
Okay.
We're talking with Battalion Chief Chris Burden. Chris, how long are you expected to be down there?
The EMAC was for 7 days, so it could be minus that or a couple of days longer, depending on the circumstances and the needs once we get down there.
And do y'all know yet your living conditions? Will you be in hotels, or do you have any idea yet?
It'll be hotel rooms, unless we're having to do some type of 24-hour operation.
Okay. Which
they try to limit it to 16 hours, but if something happens, we could run 24 hours for the first day or so.
Wow. Well,
you guys stay safe.
Absolutely. Our prayers are with you, and thank you to your whole team from us, please. We appreciate everything you do.
Yes, ma'am.
Thanks.
Thank you. Chris Burden, Shreveport Fire Department, Mike McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel.
Let's get back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Okay, I saw something yesterday that I've never heard, but it actually makes sense.
Okay.
Makes a lot of sense to me.
All right.
You and I are almost exactly the same age. I think we're like weeks apart.
I'm your elder.
Yes, ma'am. I acknowledge that.
Um, 1961. Thanks for sharing.
Okay. But it's vital to what I'm about to say.
I get you. I'm not worried about it.
We've been classified baby boomers.
Yep.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I've never felt like a baby boomer. To me, baby boomers were more in the 40s and 50s, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
After World War II.
Mm-hmm. We're the tail end of them.
The very tail end.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, technically. But did you know that the baby boomer generation is actually classified in two generations?
No.
Early boomers, and I'd never heard this, Generation Jones.
Is that what we are?
Have you ever heard Generation?
No.
I hadn't either.
Why are we Joneses?
It's those born between 1954. It's called a micro generation born between 1954 and 1965.
Hmm.
And it kind of falls between the baby boomers and Generation X.
Okay.
And it's very, very interesting because it's so true about what we experienced. Too young to participate in the counterculture revolution. Mm. Remember?
Yep.
We were really too young. Too young for Woodstock.
And the hippie scene, yeah.
All the hippies. We were
mm-hmm.
We were little tykes.
That wasn't my jam.
Wasn't our jam. That's mm-mm. Exactly right. But it's and they say
too young for Vietnam.
Right, too young mm-hmm. for Vietnam. So many different mice over here. But we got some of both, or kind of a bridge generation between boomers and Gen X.
Okay.
We got a lot of the optimism and pragmatism from baby boomers, but a lot of the I'm trying to find exactly how from Gen X more of the realistic. Okay, we were promised a lot of things by our parents and grandparents who were very optimistic. Of course, coming out of World War II, things were rosy. Things were great.
The economy was booming.
And then as we were coming into age, it was the Cultural Revolution.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I just thought that was very interesting.
That's funny you mentioned that because when I look at my brothers, who we range in 1951, my oldest was born.
Okay, so he's still a boomer.
The one below him is a boomer. And they were all into that hippie stuff. The next son was a baby. He was 56. And he was more pragmatic. He never got into the hippie stuff. He was the smart one in the family, the National Honor Society kid, you know, the brainiac. He was different from my three older brothers. And so when I come along, I'm looking at him and, you know, he's different. He's, you know, and so I followed more in his footsteps than I did the hippies, my three older So my three older ones were perfect boomers. They were hippies and, you know, doing all that, listening to loud music and, you know, Woodstock stuff and interesting.
Isn't that interesting?
It fits my family perfect.
Now, we all have personality traits that we're born with, I understand. But we all are influenced by from where we come.
Oh, yeah.
And from when we come.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought that was extremely interesting. Look it up.
Yeah.
Generation Jones. A micro generation between 1954 and 1965.
Interesting. Okay, so I'm a Jones.
And it's the name comes from the 70s phrase jonesing.
Yeah.
You're craving something. But also keeping up with the Joneses.
Yeah, it's one of my friends texted me. Everybody's trying to keep up with y'all.
Yeah.
The Joneses,
Keep up with the Joneses.
Mm-hmm.
That was just fascinating to me because it actually explained a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
It made sense.
And, you know, I don't want to get too deep here, but I think one of the flaws of our nation is the phrase you just mentioned, keeping up with the Joneses.
Oh, absolutely.
I think it's one of the flaws of our country because everybody wants to have everything their neighbors have.
See, to me, that was more of the 80s.
I think you might be right.
That was more of the 80s. It was very materialistic in the 80s.
Yeah. That's kind of has thrown things for a loop.
Generation Jones. So we have a, I don't know that it's a new identity, but it makes a lot of sense.
I think you're right.
It makes a lot of sense. Some exciting news for the Shreveport Regional Airport. Mark Crawford is going to join us in about 10 minutes talking about they're making some changes and they're expanding. Find out more next. 101.7 FM, 710 KEO, Mike and McCarty.
Now more breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 KEEL.
Mark Crawford gives us an update on things going on at the Shreveport Regional Airport next. 101.7 FM, 710 KEEL, Mike and McCarty.
Big stories of the day with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 KEEL.
101.7 FM, 710 KEEL, Mike and McCarty. A listener sent us a message earlier this morning with a picture from the Shreveport Regional Airport. And without, I wanted to say something, but Eric, you said, hold on.
Yeah, be careful with unless you've confirmed anything.
Because it could be AI, but they have signs up, and the sign says, behind this wall, we are building towards our next destination.
Cool.
And it has a picture that says, International Departure Gate.
Really?
International arrivals.
International
baggage claim.
Hmm.
This is exciting, Aaron, on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. Mark Crawford from the Shreveport Regional Airport joining us. Mark, good morning.
Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
Tell us about what is going on. This is exciting news.
It is. We are making lots of new and great improvements here at the airport. And one of those is we are building out an international arrivals and departure gate at gate one. So if you've flown in the last several years, you may remember that there was a gate that was walled off for a number of years. We reopened it 3 or 4 years ago. It's behind the wall again. And so that is because they are building out the international arrivals, departure, and baggage claim area. So we're very excited about that to open. The space should be ready hopefully by the end of the year. And we're hoping by next summer we have an international destination to announce.
Now, you said in order to have international flights, you obviously have to have customs and customs agents. So y'all are working on that as well.
Right. So it's kind of the chicken and the egg. You can't have scheduled international flights until you have a processing facility. We've actually had customs and border protection agents here at the airport for a number of years. You know, I've been here 15 years, and they've been here since before I worked here. And so we do a ton of international, no pun intended, a ton of international cargo each year. We have international cargo flights arriving almost daily and sometimes several times a day, coming in and out. So the customs agents service those flights as well. We have international charters that arrive every now and then, and then also international diversions. Shreveport Regional Airport serves as a diversion city for DFW and Love Field airports and Houston as well. And so we do get international diversions from time to time when they can't land in a different city that they're supposed to. And so those customs agents will go and inspect the planes and the passengers and all that. So we're very excited now that when that happens, we'll have a facility for that to happen in and a facility to have scheduled international flights for the residents of the Aquatex as well.
Because I was going to say, you have been designated a U.S. Customs Landing Rights Airport for a little while, but mostly that's been, like you said, for charter, private, corporate, and
cargo.
Commercial cargo flights.
Yes.
Now we might be expanding to international flights. Like where? Give me some ideas. I'm thinking Cancun. I'm thinking somewhere else in Mexico. What are we looking at?
Well, I can tell you this, and so we're working with a lot of different, or several different airlines for multiple destinations. But Cancun is our number one international destination that people fly to from Shreveport.
Mm-hmm.
So every single day, 15 people a day fly to Cancun from Shreveport, and about another 60 to 65 people per day drive to a different airport, mostly Dallas, to fly to Cancun. So we have, you know, roughly 70 to 80 people a day from the Shreveport-Bossier, an hour bubble away from Shreveport on a map, are flying to Cancun every day from our region. And so our goal is to have a Cancun flight for next summer is our main number one request for the airline.
Wow. What other locations are you looking at?
Also at Cozumel, you know, Cozumel is also in the top five international destinations. London, randomly, is our second most traveled international destination. I don't know that we'll ever see London service from Shreveport because of the distance. You know, Cancun's not too far of a flight from here. But we talk to the airlines all the time. I go to 3 or 4 conferences a year where we talk about new service here or expanding our existing service. Like we just got a second daily Denver 2 months ago, and that was from me begging them to get us some additional service. But we're also letting them know that there's an international area that'll be available hopefully by the end of the year so they can fly anything they want to in here any time of the year.
Mark, we're talking with Mark Crawford, Shreveport Regional Airport. Mark, with these new destinations, are you looking at new airlines being able to come into Shreveport Regional? And is the name going to change to Shreveport International Airport?
So we meet with, like I said, I go to several conferences a year, and we request meetings with every airline that's at these, all the airlines that are at these conferences. We met with Volaris and Viva Aerobus earlier this year and late last year, letting them know, and those are Mexican cargo carriers, Mexico, and so they're not familiar with. Usually, those people are not familiar with Shreveport, so we want to make sure they know who we are, where we are, and that we have the facilities soon to be available. So we're talking to all, not just America, Delta, and United, and Allegiant. We're talking to all the airlines. We talked to Southwest. We talked to Alaska. We were talking to Spirit before they went away. We talked to JetBlue. So we talked to all of them. And so hopefully at some point, if people continue to choose to fly from Shreveport and our numbers continue to grow, more airlines will be interested in serving the airport here. But as far as changing the name to Shreveport International Airport, I don't know that we're doing that quite yet. I would say that we would want to make sure that we have, several years of sustained international service. Just to make sure we don't change the name and the service goes away if it's not used. So I wouldn't rule that out completely, but I wouldn't say that's anything we're focusing on doing anytime soon.
Mark, what do the airlines need to see from you and from our market before they will start offering international service? What are some of the nuts and bolts behind the scenes that they need to see before they'll come in and say, yeah, we'll fly to Cancun once a day or twice a week or whatever?
Well, number one is the facility, like I mentioned. So you have to have that no matter what. You can't have the international service without a facility to process the people. But number two, and this is almost bigger than the facility, is the demand to go there. So we've said this for years. We did that Fly Shreveport First campaign. The more people that choose to fly from Shreveport, the more the airlines will add additional service. So, like in Denver, we've had Denver since 2012. We've been begging for a second flight since almost 2012 when that flight's done well. Since almost the beginning. And so they finally did that in May of this year. And that's because people continue to choose to fly from Shreveport. They didn't drive to Dallas or Alexandria or Monroe. And we do realize sometimes it makes sense to go to a different airport if the flight, the prices are much cheaper and you have a large group or for various reasons. But, when people choose to, kind of like any other small business, when people choose to support a small business or a local business, that business is able to grow bigger.
Well, let me stop you. Let me stop you, Mark. Let's pretend like we're not on the radio. Stop driving to Dallas. I did it for years. And I was saving maybe $200 a ticket. And then I did the math. And I thought 3 hours over, 3 hours back, parking, the headache, the big crowds in Dallas. It is not worth your time. Spend the $200. You might be surprised. It might not even be that much. Stop driving to Dallas, folks.
Well, after your trip, then you fly back into Dallas. You got 3 hours drive home still.
Yes, you're not 10 minutes from your house.
Well, and I'll tell you this, like I mentioned, I've been here 15 years, and when I first started here, we were always, always, always way more expensive than Dallas, and a lot of times we were more expensive than Alexandria and Monroe and Longview and all these much smaller airports around us, and that is thankfully not as much the case anymore. You were kind of in line with those smaller airports near us, and obviously you will certainly find, sometimes cheaper fares from Dallas, but when you calculate the true total cost of flying from Shreveport versus flying from Dallas or another airport, a lot of times, like y'all said, it's certainly, you're not saving a whole lot of money.
Mark, real quick.
But you're certainly not saving time.
Yeah.
Before we let you go, I remember years ago, I heard a story about a pilot that landed a 747 here because it was diverted. And it was kind of a rough landing. And one of the passengers, a friend of mine, said, and he told me this, I don't know if it's true now, but he said, the Shreveport, man, y'all aren't set up for these big planes. That's not true, is it?
That is not true. Absolutely not. And we had probably 2 months ago, Western Global, which is a cargo airline that is a tenant here, they flew 747s in and out of here for years. They moved in 2017. That 747 was sitting here on the ground until about maybe 2 months ago. And what's out there now, Western Global is ending their time here. They're moving to Blytheville, Arkansas. We've got SkyWest in the big blue maintenance hangar here at the airport. And so we're glad to have them here. But they have those big MD-11s, which are the three-engine giant jumbo jets from yesteryear that are all only used for cargo now. But those are here. And so The 747 took off and landed here dozens and dozens of times while Western Global was fully operational here.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So we could land a B-52 on the runway here at the airport. There would be some logistics for the taxiways because they're not exactly all wide enough for a B-52 to go down.
That's a huge wingspan.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. And we actually randomly, and this is a unique feature about Shreveport Regional Airport, most commercial runways are 150 feet wide. Ours is 200 feet wide. So that's one of the reasons why you can land a B-52 here. Part of the reason why you can land a B-52 here.
With more of Mike and McCarty on 1017 FM and 710 Kiel.
Right, one more day.
Then Ruby will be back.
Today, then Ruby. Knew where I was going.
I know. You don't like flying the boat.
I don't like. It's not as bad as it used to be.
Right. There's so much to do over there, though. It's
nonstop.
Yeah. Oh.
It really is. It's nonstop over here.
You couldn't pick another person up in this building and plop them in that seat, and they'd be comfortable doing that. Wouldn't be. Nobody exists.
Yeah.
It's a tough gig. And Ruben is so calm. I mean, how many days do I just go, Ruben!
I know.
And he's like, what?
Yep.
He's so funny.
Might be a reason.
Yeah, there might be a reason. I hope he's relaxing. I hope he's sleeping in. That's what I do hope.
Yes.
Just sleeping in till 8 or 9 or whatever. You know, it's hard, though, when you... And I was talking to my doctor yesterday, and she goes, we were talking about my sleep patterns. And
wait, she? You're talking to the nurse.
Oh, man. Wow. Mike Martindale at townsquaremedia.com. That's the email address. Mike Martindale at townsquaremedia.com. She said, what time do you normally wake up? And I said 3:30. And she said, oh, and do you sleep in on the weekends? I said, oh, yeah. She said, how late on the weekends? I said, 6.
Right.
She busts up laughing. You know, it's just one of those things. You've been doing it for so long. And I just don't think Ruben is sleeping in. You just can't. Your body won't let you.
Right.
You get to a certain age and your body's like, oh, you're supposed to be up. Get up. You're supposed to be up. So when I wake up at 6 on the weekends, I may go to a restaurant and get something to eat for breakfast. I might go for breakfast at 6.
I love going to get breakfast. That's one of my favorite Saturday morning rituals.
Mm-hmm.
Is my mom and my sister, and of course my wife, and we'll go to breakfast on Saturday mornings.
Right. I'm not going to name the name of the place where I went this past Saturday, but there's 6 or 7 people standing in there. There's no other customers. I walk in, sit in a booth.
6 or 7 employees?
Employees.
Oh, okay.
Standing around.
Okay.
It took about 7 minutes for someone to come over to my table.
Are you kidding?
I sat there for a minute playing a little game on my phone. And I'm not in a rush or anything. And the menu's in front of me. There's a menu there. And I'm like, really?
Wow.
6 or 7 of you are going to stand around. Of course, they're acting a busy. You know, they play and look a busy when you walk in. And I thought, oh, my goodness. That's just awful. And it's a generation of folks that don't give a damn.
And when you say it like that, that doesn't sound like a long time.
Right.
But stop and think about that.
Yeah.
That was about 15 seconds.
That's it.
That felt like an eternity.
Mm-hmm. Multiply that by about 25.
Yeah.
You know, it's just unbelievable. And you know what? I'm a huge tipper. If you're good.
Me too, yes.
If you're good, I'm a huge tipper. You just cost yourself $5.
Wow. Yeah, no kidding. No kidding.
Because I would leave a 20 on a $12 or $15 breakfast order. I'd leave the whole 20 and walk out. But anyway, I'm just going to give you basics. If I get basic, you're getting basic.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry I'm not tipping you in the drive-thru. I'm against it. Right. Against my religion.
Don't even put a tip jar in the drive-thru.
Yeah.
1017 FM, 710 Key. FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty. President Trump addressing the nation tonight. And he's apparently going to be addressing election integrity. Co-host of American Ground Radio, heard every afternoon 5 to 7 here on Keel, Louis R. Avalone joining us. Louis, good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for jumping on with us. What do you expect to hear? Is he going to bring receipts?
Well, I think, you know, this is President Trump. I don't think anyone knows what exactly he's going to talk about. He has teased that this speech is going to be about free and fair elections in our country. Speaker Mike Johnson did as he said he would when we talked to him 2 weeks ago. He said he's going to pass the SAVE Act again and send it over to the Senate. And he did just that. And kudos, of course, to our congressman for making that happen. But I think that's what President Trump is going to focus on, because if we don't have free and fair elections, we don't have a country. And he said that many, many times. But I think it is going to be somewhat of a potpourri of topics. Most notably is the discussion now of ground troops in Iran. President Trump just recently, I believe this was yesterday, in an interview with Fox News, sat down and said ground troops may be necessary. Now, could this just be part of the, you know, negotiations with the Iranians, letting them know, you know what, we're so committed to this that, yes, we will put boots on the ground, even though it is politically unpopular in a midterm election. But our national security is so dependent on what we accomplish in that region that we're willing to do that. I think he is going to go to the American people and broach that subject, because that is the first time that I've heard President Trump talk about boots on the ground. And whether that's taking Karg Island with regards to the oil, or whether that's something more, I think that's something that we will find out this evening, just how extensive that might be.
Louis, back to the election front, if that's the focus of the speech, which many are saying it will be, you know, courts have ruled over and over again that there was no election tampering, even judges that he appointed. What is he going to have to show to change the opinion of a lot of people who say that his theory is just not accurate?
Well, I don't know that he will get into any of that, because I think you're absolutely right. I think for many people, that's just kind of a lost argument. It's like, what that's history. That's mm-hmm. the past. And we can, you know, reasonable people can disagree with respect to the legitimacy of the 2020 election. What he's going to talk about is what Speaker Mike Johnson just passed in the House and has sent over to the Senate, and that is the SAVE Act. And for those of you who might be listening and you don't know what that may be, and it sounds like it's disenfranchising certain voters, that legislation, if it is passed by the Senate, and of course it will be signed by the president, would require proof of U.S. citizenship when registering to vote in federal elections. That's it. It doesn't require citizens to prove their citizenship every time they vote. Existing registered voters generally would not need to re-register because the law changed. It doesn't change who is eligible to vote under current existing federal law. So there's a lot of hype. There's a lot of misinformation about the SAVE Act and what that means. I think Al Sharpton is planning a march on Washington with Martin Luther King III you know, of course, his politics appear to be very different than Martin Luther King Jr. But nevertheless, the point here is they're planning a march on Washington to save the vote. The vote isn't under attack. And I think that's what President Trump will address tonight, is that nothing has changed with regards to whether or not a U.S. citizen is eligible to vote. It will be just the same. It's adding an extra step there to make sure that no one is voting in our elections that should not be. Because if you want to talk about true voter disenfranchisement, when your legally cast ballot is canceled out by someone who is ineligible to cast a ballot, cast a vote in our elections, that is true voter disenfranchisement, and the SAVE Act is intended to eliminate that.
Schumer is saying the SAVE Act will never pass. It will never pass in the Senate. Do you think it has a chance?
I certainly do. It has to. It has to pass. I mean, and look, you can go state by state and look at where the votes have been audited. And there are lots of states that are reporting folks that are voting in their elections that are not U.S. citizens. And I just don't understand why that is not of any concern to folks.
Exactly. And when you look at who opposes making sure only Americans are voting in American elections, what's Schumer's opposition? You want illegals to vote.
That's it.
You want to open the border and you want to let them all vote because you're going to give them everything.
Right. I mean, if it looks like a duck and it walks like a duck, you know, and it, you know, sounds like a duck, it's probably a duck. And if you're advocating for loosening the restrictions or loosening the safeguards against making sure that folks who are not eligible to vote in our elections don't actually cast a ballot in our elections, then you are advocating for disenfranchising millions of American citizens, and their vote, their say, their voice in our government.
But linking the SAVE Act, and this is done, these tactics are done on both sides of the aisle, linking it to the budget bill is something, Lewis, I'm sick of that nonsense being done. I'm really tired of it. Just pass the SAVE Act on its own merits and move on. Don't link it to the budget where a government shutdown looms and all that nonsense. Do you think we can get around doing that this time?
I don't, not the way it's currently passed.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so if Democrats want to go on record for voting down the funding to the military along with voter integrity, then so be it. But this is, you know, the military obviously is of critical importance. The men and women who serve and sacrifice, who, you know, they give everything.
You know who I am.
Make sure. Right. Yeah, absolutely. They give everything so that we can enjoy the rights and the freedoms that we do in this country. Yes, they deserve our full support. But if we don't have free and fair elections, I believe, as President Trump does, we do not have a country. And this bill, it does not change who is eligible to vote. It doesn't create a new class of voters. It doesn't alter the Constitution's citizenship requirement. It simply changes how citizenship is verified during the voter registration process. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're asked for are you disenfranchised as a traveler when you are asked for your identification to board an airplane?
No.
Or are you disenfranchised when you go to the bank to open up an account when they need two forms of ID?
No.
Or if you go into a bar and order a beer. You've got to show an ID.
There you go.
A restaurant. Sitting in a restaurant, you've got to show an ID.
But anybody. I've always had to show an ID to vote. I just don't know where they're voting where they don't show IDs. It just boggles my mind. Yeah. In those blue states, I guess.
Yeah, there are a lot of places in this country where the politics are very different and the rules are enforced unequally.
Mm. That's troublesome. No doubt about it. Lewis, thank you for your time.
You bet. Mm-hmm. Lewis, take care.
Yes, sir. We'll talk to you soon. Lewis Avalone, co-host of American Ground Radio. Mike and McCarty, 1017 FM, 710keel.com.
Let's get back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 1017 FM and 710 Keel.
Don't really have a lot of time to get into this, but this is interesting. I saw Pete Hegseth saying, we're going to check tea levels.
Yeah.
What brought that on?
I'm not sure.
You wonder what go. Was there a soldier that said, "Hey,
stop"? I don't know. I'm not sure. He said he wants everybody to be at their top form. And if they can get, I know you can be treated for low T levels. I guess you can. You know, I don't know. I don't have T, do I? Do I have any tea?
I don't think so. I think you have more the estrogen.
Yeah, is that right? Okay. Just curious. Don't get me started
now,
on
do
all that.
Women have, I'm sure maybe there are some.
Some? I don't know. Don't get me started with that rooster and chicken stuff. You know how that, that's a problem.
All I can think of is cloaca. And Reuben.
I did see a show last night. That's funny you mentioned. Because these contestants had to go stand on a picture of an animal that lays eggs. And a man went and stood on a picture of a rooster. And I thought, see, I was right all along. I was thinking about you and I was watching it.
Left the show and got on that short bus?
So I don't know what, you know, when are they going to start testing them for low T and what are they going to do if they do have low T?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Are they offering treatment for
I'm sure
those?
They will. I'm sure that, yeah, they're not going to kick people out for low T because goodness,
no,
it's not going to happen.
I couldn't imagine that.
Their planet Hegseth says he wants to test them. So we shall see.
Okay.
Absolutely. Richard Lwelling from the Weather Channel going to join us in about 10 minutes. Do we have more rain on the way? How much rain have we gotten? And how hot is it going to get?
Trip didge.
Don't say
week.
That.
I'm not causing them.
You're
I'm
voted
just...
off the island. Get out of here.
1017 FM, 710 Keel. Triple digit.
Now more breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 1017 FM and 710 Keel.
Burger. Oh, I gotta turn this down. Ruben's not here to turn it down. Dadgummit, Ruben, get your butt back here.
He deserves a vacay.
He does deserve a vacay. Ruben works very hard because in addition to our show, he also does a lot of other stuff.
Oh, yeah.
That I certainly don't want to fool with, nor does anybody else in the building.
List is too long. It really is.
Yeah, he produces other shows. And I hope he's having a good time and getting some rest.
Community Professionals Cookout is happening tomorrow. Red River Credit Union in Bossier. This is for, the list is long. You have it over there?
Yes, it is for teachers, first responders, doctors, nurses, EMT workers, burgers on the grill, noon to 2 in Bossier for free.
Yep. It's the Community Professionals Cookout sponsored by Red River Credit Union, Bossier City. So if you can go and you're one of those folks, it's free. Go grab you a burger tomorrow.
Go get free
and
lunch.
Thanks for what you do from us too as well.
Coming up after the break, we're going to talk with Richard Lwelling with the Weather Channel and find out, we do have triple digits on the way, but is there more rain coming?
Ugh.
He'll let us know. 1017 FM, 710keel.com.
Back with more of Mike and McCarty on 1017 FM and 710 Keel.
1017 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty.
Wow.
On the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline, Weather Channel meteorologist Richard Lewelling joining us. Richard, good morning.
Good morning. How are y'all this morning? Good.
Very well. Thanks for jumping on with us. We have had a lot of rain. We have had a lot of rain. Skeeters are bad. Have we set any records? Are we? How's this summer looking as far as drought now?
Well, you know, the drought pretty much is done here across our part of the Ark-La-Tex, but it's still holding on for parts of south central and southeastern Arkansas and working on over into the Mississippi Delta. That seems to be where the center of the drought conditions continue to persist at this time. But, you know, the last 45 days, we've just seen, you know, quite a bit of rain, and it has kind of pushed us a little bit above average. For the year so far, though, we're still running just slightly below average, but here the last 45 days or so, we have just picked up quite a bit of rain. In fact, so far this month, for July, we've picked up 4.73 inches. Our normal for this date should be, we should be at about 1.86. So we're almost three times what we should be at for rain for this part of July this far. June was an above normal month too. We had over 7 inches of rain in Shreveport. So you can see over the last 45 days or so, we've picked up nearly 11 inches of rain here. And that's pretty much alleviated or just gotten rid of the drought for our part of the Ark-La-Tex as a result.
What's the normal rainfall for June? You say we've gotten seven. What's the normal June rainfall?
You know, normal June rainfall should be at about 3.5. So we nearly doubled the amount of rain we saw, last month. And we've tripled the amount of rain we've seen so far this month. So, you know, we've pretty much alleviated the drought, you know, and before that, you know, going back through, you know, the first half of the year, January was an above normal month for precipitation, but February, March, and April, as well as May, were all below average. And that's normally the time of year when we really pick up our, you know, most precipitation, you know, for any part of the year. We usually get it in the first part of the year, but this time around, I think it has a lot to do with the, you know, the effects of El Nino that's going on right now. It's kind of pushed us into a more wetter pattern here since the beginning of the month of May.
Well, I'm looking at the extended forecast, Richard Lewelling with the Weather Channel, and in addition to triple digits on the way starting next week, looks like it's going to be a lot drier. I don't see anything more than about a 15% chance of rain for the next several days.
Yeah, I think that it's going to be those, quick hit showers if we get anything at all. But I think the bigger story coming up in the next 10 days is going to be the heat. The Climate Prediction Center has hatched out pretty much all of East Texas and the Ark-La-Tex with extreme heat next week. I think that we're going to probably see more than 3 days of extreme triple-digit temperatures here in Shreveport itself, starting Monday and probably going all the way out through next week. You know, Thursday and Friday, they've kind of hedged the bet and said upper 90s. I think the heat is going to be a little bit longer lasting than that. So I think much of next week, probably each day here in Shreveport, we're going to be looking at temperatures somewhere between 100 and 103 and overnight lows in the upper 70s. So there won't be much cooling relief. And of course, with high pressure settling in, that's going to pretty much alleviate any rain chances for us. I think starting today and going out through the next 10 days, we really just don't see a whole lot in the way of any rain chances for us.
And I saw a report also that said we're going to have a milder winter.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a wetter winter and a milder winter as we move on, because, you know, this is a very strong El Nino that is taking shape. And, you know, usually the indications are when we have this type of pattern setting up, a milder winter but a wetter winter is going to be on the way. But, of course, that also throws into the dimension that it could be more of an icy winter, depending on exactly how far cold air can advance southward. So I think there's going to be some opportunities to see some icing concerns again as we move on into the upcoming winter if this trend of the way the weather's playing out right now continues to hold on out. And I think it's going to, you know, at least through the end of the winter.
Let me ask you, the severe rains they've had in Texas causing the massive flooding, Is any of that headed our way, or is it going to miss Louisiana moving north of us, or has it kind of dissipated?
Well, I think what's going to happen with that is that piece of energy is going to basically move its way on out into the Gulf this weekend. And, you know, the National Hurricane Center has hatched out an area across northeastern Florida up through the coastal Carolinas where that lobe of energy could actually form into a tropical depression or a storm. So I think one of the things we're going to be watching is what happens with that piece of energy as it works its way off the Texas coast and out into the Gulf waters. We could see some tropical development out of this, but Louisiana is not in play for this. It looks like the system would probably move across Florida and eventually up into the Carolinas.
Our last minute or so, the rains we have gotten have been like deluges, they felt like, and it has caused flash flooding in our community for a few days. Is that because the ground is so saturated that that's why the water is rising on our streets, et cetera, quicker than it normally would?
Yeah, that's definitely the case because, you know, last month we had 7.5 inches of rain. The ground is pretty much saturated. If you go back to the 1st of June and just go out through July 15, think about how many big rain events we've seen here across the Ocklatex, and there have been quite a few, and that's just causing just the water just to pile up on this, you know, ground, and the ground just can't absorb any more water. So any storms that we get would definitely lead to flash flooding concerns, and that's what's happening right now. We just don't have a lot of chance to dry the things out, but that will be a different story as we move through the weekend and the next week as the building heat starts to take shape.
One more thing, someone just texted us. The smoky air on the East Coast, family members in Boston and New York, they had to retreat because of air quality. That's a problem because of what's going on there, right?
No, this is from Canadian wildfires, huge okay. Canadian wildfires that are being, you know, left to burn in Canada. They ain't got no firefighting apparatus up there, and it's sending all that smoke from the Dakotas to Minnesota to the Great Lakes to the Northeast and New England. More smoky weather in the forecast, and it's going to be at least a couple of days before air quality improves in that part of the country.
Richard Lewelling with the Weather Channel. Thanks for the update. We'll talk to you soon, sir.
We'll talk to you soon. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Micah McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Kiel, and on the free Kiel app.
Get back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Kiel.
I don't know if we have enough time to do it justice, but the Gaming Control Board is meeting later today. This is kind of huge.
Mm-hmm.
Huge,
yes.
For our market, certainly.
It is. It's a big deal, and there's a lot to unpack, but a lot of what we would like to unpack is private, and so we can't unpack it because we don't have it. I've requested the documents, the background documents, and the information that the Gaming Control Board is meeting today. This is one of the big items on the agenda. No, this is the big item on the agenda.
Right, right.
That the Gaming Control, and I have asked the chairman, Mr. Hebert, to join us tomorrow if possible. He said he doesn't know. He doesn't know if he's going to be available just because so much of it might be private information that he can't share.
So Bally's is buying Sam's Town.
Yes, sorry. We need to. Bally's right. Has a bid in to buy Sam's Town Casino, which would make, you know, lots of questions. Do they keep both licenses? Do they build a completely new casino? Do they keep operating both as they are, make changes? Do they, you know, I'm hearing they plan to build a bigger casino and incorporate both into one, but keep both licenses so they can double the space.
So where is Bally's?
Bally's is on the Shreveport Riverfront, okay. Kind of across from Stageworks.
It used to be
El Dorado.
Okay.
So where Hollywood.
Is Sam's Town?
Sam's Town is the original Harrah's.
So
the
it's next door to
it's
them.
Next door. Right next door.
Okay. There's, so they are right next door to each
they're
other.
They're right next door to each other. There is room in between them.
Gotcha.
That some are saying might be, you know, where they build the newer casino. There is a parking garage across the street where they could build a newer land. Because this is going
to
be land-based.
It doesn't have to be a boat anymore.
Nope, and it's going to be land-based.
Gotcha.
Whatever they do will be land-based. We have to unpack more of this coming up after 8, because this is a big deal for our community, and whether they keep both licenses, I'm sure that'll be some of the discussion today.
And both of those boats will probably disappear then.
Yep, they'll be gone. Toast.
Interesting.
I would bet.
Okay, mm-hmm. So we'll find out more. The meeting is today, later this morning. We spoke with Louis R. Avalone earlier this morning about President Trump's address tonight. Hear what he's expecting after the news top of the hour. Mike and McCarty, 1017 FM, 710keel.com. Seven FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty. President Trump addressing the nation tonight, and he's apparently going to be addressing election integrity. Co-host of American Ground Radio, heard every afternoon 5 to 7 here on Keel, Louis R. Avalone joining us. Louis, good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for jumping on with us. What do you expect to hear? Is he going to bring receipts?
Well, I think, you know, this is President Trump. I don't think anyone knows what exactly he's going to talk about. He has teased that this speech is going to be about free and fair elections in our country. Speaker Mike Johnson did as he said he would when we talked to him 2 weeks ago. He said he's going to pass the SAVE Act again and send it over to the Senate. And he did just that. And kudos, of course, to our congressman for making that happen. But I think that's what President Trump is going to focus on, because if we don't have free and fair elections, we don't have a country. And he said that many, many times. But I think it is going to be somewhat of a potpourri of topics. Most notably is the discussion now of ground troops in Iran. President Trump just recently, I believe this was yesterday, in an interview with Fox News, sat down and said ground troops may be necessary. Now, could this just be part of the, you know, negotiations with the Iranians, letting them know, you know what, we're so committed to this that, yes, we will the ground, even though it is politically unpopular in a midterm election. But our national security is so dependent on what we accomplish in that region that we're willing to do that. I think he is going to go to the American people and broach that subject, because that is the first time that I've heard President Trump talk about boots on the ground. And whether that's taking Karg Island with regards to the oil, or whether that's something more, I think that's something that we will find out this evening, just how extensive that might be.
Louis, back to the election front, if that's the focus of the speech, which many are saying it will be, you know, courts have ruled over and over again that there was no election tampering, even judges that he appointed. What is he going to have to show to change the opinion of a lot of people who say that his theory is just not accurate?
Well, I don't know that he will get into any of that, because I think you're absolutely right. I think for many people, that's just kind of a lost argument. It's like, what that's history. That's mm-hmm. the past. And we can, you know, reasonable people can disagree with respect to the legitimacy of the 2020 election. What he's going to talk about is what Speaker Mike Johnson just passed in the House and has sent over to the Senate, and that is the SAVE Act. And for those of you who might be listening and you don't know what that may be, and it sounds like it's disenfranchising certain voters, that legislation, if it is passed by the Senate, and of course it will be signed by the president, would require proof of U.S. citizenship when registering to vote in federal elections. That's it. It doesn't require citizens to prove their citizenship every time they vote. Existing registered voters generally would not need to re-register because the law changed. It doesn't change who is eligible to vote under current existing federal law. So there's a lot of hype there's a lot of misinformation about the SAVE Act and what that means. I think Al Sharpton is planning a march on Washington with Martin Luther King III. You know, of course, his politics appear to be very different than Martin Luther King Jr. But nevertheless, the point here is they're planning a march on Washington to save the vote. The vote isn't under attack. And I think that's what President Trump will address tonight, is that nothing has changed with regards to whether or not a U.S. citizen is eligible to vote. It will be just the same. It's adding an extra step there to make sure that no one is voting in our elections that should not be. Because if you want to talk about true voter disenfranchisement, when your legally cast ballot is canceled out by someone who is ineligible to cast a ballot, cast a vote in our elections, that is true voter disenfranchisement, and the SAVE Act is intended to eliminate that.
Schumer is saying the SAVE Act will never pass. It will never pass in the Senate. Do you think it has a chance?
I certainly do. It has to. It has to pass. I mean, and look, you can go state by state and look at where the votes have been audited. And there are lots of states that are reporting folks that are voting in their elections that are not U.S. citizens. And I just don't understand why that is not of any concern to folks.
Exactly. And when you look at who opposes making sure only Americans are voting in American elections, what's Schumer's opposition? You want illegals to vote.
That's it.
You want to open the border and you want to let them all vote because you're going to give them everything.
Right. I mean, if it looks like a duck and it walks like a duck, you know, and it, you know, sounds like a duck, it's probably a duck. You're advocating for loosening the restrictions, the safeguards against making sure that folks who are not eligible to vote in our elections don't actually cast a ballot in our elections. Then you are advocating for disenfranchising millions of American citizens, and their vote, their say, their voice in our government.
But linking the SAVE Act, and this is done, these tactics are done on both sides of the aisle, linking it to the budget bill is something, Lewis, I'm sick of that nonsense being done. I'm really tired of it. Just pass the SAVE Act on its own merits and move on. Don't link it to the budget where a government shutdown looms and all that nonsense. Do you think we can get around doing that this time?
I don't, not the way it's currently passed.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so if Democrats want to go on record for voting down the funding to the military along with voter integrity, then so be it. But this is, you know, the military obviously is of critical importance. The men and women who serve and sacrifice, who, you know, they give everything.
You know who I am.
Make sure.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. They give everything so that we can enjoy the rights and the freedoms that we do in this country. Yes, they deserve our full support. But if we don't have free and fair elections, I believe, as President Trump does, we do not have a country. And this bill, it does not change who is eligible to vote. It doesn't create a new class of voters. It doesn't alter the Constitution's citizenship requirement. It simply changes how citizenship is verified during the voter registration process. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're asked for are you disenfranchised as a traveler when you are asked for your identification to board an airplane?
No.
Are you disenfranchised when you go to the bank to open up an account when they need two forms of ID?
No.
Or if you go into a bar and order a beer, you've got to show an ID.
Mm-hmm. There
Even
you go.
A restaurant, sitting in a restaurant, you've got to show an ID.
But anybody, I've always had to show an ID to vote. I just don't know where they're voting where they don't show IDs. It just boggles my mind.
Yeah.
In those blue states, I guess.
Yeah, there are a lot of places in this country where the politics are very different and the rules are enforced unequally.
That's troublesome, no doubt about it. Lewis, thank you for your time.
You bet. Mm-hmm. Lewis, take care.
Yes, sir. We'll talk to you soon. Lewis Avalone, co-host of American Ground Radio. Mike and McCarty, 1017 FM, 710keel.com.
Now more breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 1017 FM and 710 Keel.
You get to watch a meeting today. I'm excited for you.
Aaron, you know how I love.
Gaming Control Board is meeting today. The biggest item on the agenda is the sale of Samstown Casino to Bally's. What they're going to change the name to. I don't know that they're going to get into detail about the plan. But it's the sale. It's the pending sale. The Gaming Control Board can rubber stamp it and say, yep, we agree.
Okay, because these are two casinos on the riverfront, downtown Shreveport, right next to each other.
Shreveport's only casinos.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, technically, isn't Boomtown?
No.
Isn't that technically Shreveport, even though it's on the Bossier side?
I think it's a Bossier boat, I think.
Is it Caddo? Look into that.
Yeah, okay.
And they're talking about now building because they don't have to be boats anymore.
Nope.
So the boats will be gone. They'll combine all that property into one huge facility. Mm-hmm. So will that open up a new license for another company to come in?
That's a great question. I'm told by some insiders that know they're going to keep both licenses.
Do that if it's one facility?
They'll have double the space. They'll be able to have double the space, you have rules about how many slot machines you can have, how many butts and seats you can have based on for each license. This will give them the ability to double the space they could have. There's an item on the agenda that says changing the name of Samstown. So obviously the Samstown name is going to go away. Will it all become Bally's? Will it become Bally's and whatever? We don't know what the plan is. I have asked for the documents, and I have been told by a couple of people that it's private information because they don't have to release what their plan is until they start filing permits, et cetera. But I have been told by some folks that it looks like their intention is one big giant casino.
Okay.
Whether it's on the riverfront side or whether it's across the street where the parking garage is, I don't know. I'm not sure what their inner plans are. They don't have to release that yet. You might hear a few of the deets during the meeting today. They might be questioned about what your plan is for Shreveport, and they might be questioned about the licenses. Do you think if it's only under one name, should you get to keep both licenses?
Right.
Or should you free up one license? And then you could sell the Samstown property. If you're one casino, do you need the two hotels? Do you want both hotels? Is one hotel going to be for, who knows? One's more luxury. I don't know. It's a big deal for the gaming world here locally because it is a big, big change. And what they do with it, land-based works. I mean, I know I've been to live casino lately and it's now my favorite because it's so easy to get in and out of. You don't have to walk, 300 yards to get to the casino floor. Mm-hmm. You're right there. To have that on the Shreveport side would be huge. So I'm not certain on their plan, but I know there's a lot of buzz in the community about it. And, will it stay under the Bally's name? I don't know that either. But today's a big first step to get the Gaming Control Board to okay the sale.
And it's expected to sail through.
Oh yeah, they know what they're doing. They have these casino lawyers. They know exactly what they have to present. They know exactly what the Gaming Control Board wants to see, and they'll give them what they want and probably get the votes. Now there may be some questions, and the board may delay. They may say, "Hey, we need this, and get back to us with that, and then we'll vote next time." I would assume they're going to move forward with a vote today. I'd be surprised if there's not a positive vote today to approve this sale. We'll see.
What time's the meeting?
10 o'clock this morning.
Okay.
I know you're excited.
I can't wait. 101.7 FM 710. Keel, Mike and McCarty.
Back to the big stories of the day with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
All right, Aaron, you know this is my thing.
This your jam, yeah.
This is my, yeah.
Is that still a thing?
Probably not.
Probably not.
But
no.
We're Generation Jones.
Yeah, whatever we are, yeah.
By the way, yeah. Caleb Williams is in studio at Emmett Hook Center last weekend. They opened... Ruben's not here to turn this down.
Mm-hmm.
They opened Hunchback of Notre Dame. Caleb, good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, I got the wrong one. Oh, try it again.
Good morning.
There we are.
Yay.
I'm not normally over here.
I understand.
Our producer is on vacation. Whoever approved that. Opening night last Thursday, Friday.
Last Friday.
Friday night, full house.
Pretty much, yeah.
And
always completely sold out.
The crowds have just been fantastic, and the response has been great.
Oh, yeah. We've heard nothing but good words. Everybody that's come to see it has just absolutely loved it.
Now, this is not the Disney version of Hunchback of Notre Dame.
No, technicality. Disney does not put their name on it, but Disney owns all the copyright for it.
So, does it? Okay. Oh,
yes,
really?
They do.
Wow.
Okay. They do. For some reason, they just chose to not make it Disney's Hunchback of Notre Dame. It's just the Hunchback of
Notre Dame. One of the comments I saw was how fantastic it was, and they didn't realize it was going to be as dark.
Yes, yeah.
As
If the only frame of knowledge you have coming in is the animated Disney movie,
right?
It does take a little bit of a darker turn. But in my opinion, it takes the darkness from like the original story,
right,
of the novel.
Which is a dark story.
It's a very dark story, and it portrays it on stage so well to just leave such an impact. The only way I can really describe it is that it's such an impactful story.
And you're Quasimodo, correct?
Yes, I'm Quasimodo.
Oh, wow. That's like, I mean, you're up there the whole time almost.
Pretty much. My track for this show is pretty intense.
How many songs do you have in this show?
Solos or just that I sing in?
That you're in, yeah.
I think it's around six.
Golly.
I think I'm in about a total of six songs.
Nice.
It is a musical.
It is.
It is a...
And it's a huge cast.
It is. It really is.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, we have a full... offstage choir. Like if you numbered up the total number of people it took to put this show together, I'm sure it's over 100.
Wow.
A full offstage choir with, I believe, don't quote me on this, but I believe we have a 24-piece orchestra.
Yes.
Holy cow. Yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah. Your background in singing, where does that come from?
Yeah. So I actually have my bachelor's degree in music from a former Louisiana college, now Louisiana Christian University. In Pineville, Louisiana.
Oh, so you have pipes.
Yes.
That's very cool.
Okay,
very
sing
cool.
Your song right now.
No, oh, gosh.
No, I'm just kidding. I hate it when they do that.
Folks that want to come see it, what's the best place to get tickets?
Yeah, on Emmett Hook Theater's website.
Okay.
I believe it's just emmetthookcentertheater.org.
Mm-hmm.
I believe is the website, and right there at the top, Hunchback of Notre Dame. You can just click on there to get your tickets. Or I don't have the number off the top of my head, but if you go to Emmett Hook's Facebook page, they have the phone number for the box office there, and you can always call the box office to get your tickets.
Coming up Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, right?
Yes, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. The Friday is a 7:30 performance. The Saturday and Sunday are both 3 p.m. matinees.
Okay, cool.
Now, did they mention maybe adding a performance? Does it?
I don't believe we would add one this weekend.
Okay.
I haven't heard anything in the works. Now, who knows? If we get all three of these shows sold out, you know, I don't know.
I wish they'd go back to a Saturday night performance.
Yeah.
I miss the Saturday night shows.
I know.
But I understand because they have worship service in that facility.
Yes,
on Sunday morning.
Sure, exactly.
They do. Yeah. And it's always been, you know, maybe it's the large church-going audience we've had, but I don't know. A lot of the community theaters here, I think Saturday night has always sold the worst.
Mm.
And so even theaters like Shreveport Little Theater are kind of moving away from Saturday night and just going to Saturday matinees. It's an interesting thought.
And you can go to dinner after.
That's
Thanks
right.
for coming in. That's
Absolutely.
Awesome. Great
Caleb
to have
Williams.
You.
It's Hunchback of Notre Dame, Emmett Hook Center. The show reopens Friday night, tomorrow night.
Tomorrow mm-hmm. night.
Get your tickets. Thanks for coming out.
Absolutely glad to be here.
Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, and on the free Keel.
Back with more of Mike and McCarty on 1017 FM and 710 Kiel.
I absolutely love this. We were talking off mic a little bit earlier about something. I know you don't know where I'm going.
No, I have no clue.
Something your doctor told you.
Yeah.
About writing down.
Mm-hmm.
Taking things and writing them down because it actually, the physical act of writing. Aaron, first of all, it's becoming a lost
yes,
art.
It is. So much so.
You know, I love writing.
Yep.
I love the act of taking a pen and putting it on paper.
Mm-hmm.
Nice paper.
Yeah.
And there's, when you do that, there's a process in your brain that doesn't happen when you're pounding on a keyboard.
Yes.
Or your thumbs are flying across a glass mm-hmm. screen on your phone.
You know what she told me yesterday, and I had my regular checkup, nothing special.
Right.
And
right.
I told, and she takes care of me physically, mentally. I mean, we do the whole shebang. And I told her, I said, hey, I went to a place the other day and I just became overwhelmed with doom and gloom, depression. I didn't want to be at this place. It was just an awful feeling that came over me. And she kind of leaned back.
It was my house when you dropped off my corn. That's what I know.
And
yeah.
she said, here's what I need you to do. Because I have to go to this place, you know, occasionally, not very often. But she said, here's what I want you to do. She said, I want you to write, before you write down the feelings you're having in your brain about being at that place, she said, I want you to write down 10 things that you're grateful for. About an hour before you go to this place.
Write them down.
Write them down.
Don't type them out.
Nope. Write them down. And I did it today. She said, I want you to write down the 10 things you're grateful for. Could be you had a good egg in the morning. Doesn't matter.
Sure.
Could be whatever it is. Just 10 things. And then when you get to the place that's causing you, you know, this
anxiety
mm-hmm. she said, then in your same gratitude journal, I want you on the next page, I want you to write down what you're observing. You know,
what's causing
yeah.
this anxiety? Yes.
Somebody looks mean. Somebody smells, you know, what the place smells, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
Just write down the things that are causing you anxiety or things you don't like what you're seeing. And she said, you will be amazed how, and she said, and she cited the study. I don't have it in front of me. She said, taking the thoughts from the back of your brain, moving them to the front of your brain, and then onto paper.
Because that is an active.
Yes.
Action. It's.
Mm-hmm. She says there is scientific evidence that extends your lifespan. if you write down 10 things a day, she says keeping a gratitude journal, the scientific evidence shows it extends your lifespan. Why would you not do that? Why would you not write down, and you can just use two words, eggs, we're good. You know what I mean?
I visited my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
My mother-in-law used to write letters to her children.
Yes.
Not for any special occasion.
Mm-hmm.
She wrote letters.
Yep.
I have revived that.
Ah, oh, that's awesome. That's awesome.
I went and visited my daughter a couple mm-hmm. weeks ago. I was gone for a week. I wrote her a letter when
yeah.
I got home. Just thanking her.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing big.
Great to see you.
Nothing heavy.
Yep.
Just how proud I am of her.
Right.
She texted me a few days ago. She goes, well, now I'm bawling. In a picture of the letter that I wrote.
Oh,
you know?
Wow.
And I had written one previous going, Nana used to do this.
Yeah.
And I want to continue this.
Mm-hmm.
The physical act. And you get a handwritten letter from somebody, Aaron?
Absolutely.
How much more does that mean?
That they took the time to do that.
Then they send you an email.
and they went and mailed it, and they did. I mean, yes,
and they touched that paper,
right?
That's their handwriting. Mm-hmm. That's it means so much.
When's the last time? And if you're listening, I'm talking to you. When's the last time you wrote a thank you note to somebody for something they did? We just don't do that anymore.
A thank you note got me a job.
Oh, ton. Yes.
I called on a client
absolutely
one time, and I wrote her a thank you note later. Thanks. Hey, thanks for seeing me. I know you're busy and I appreciate it. Blah, mm-hmm. blah, blah. She yep. was so impressed.
Yeah.
She yeah.
It means something. It really does.
Handwriting.
Mm-hmm.
I love that story.
You bet.
Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Q.
Back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Kiel.
Got a great text following up on what we were talking about.
The physical art of actual writing something down.
Mm-hmm.
Writing a letter.
And my doctor actually said, and I won't get this right, so I'm not a doctor, and I'm not, and science was not the subject you wanted me in to help you with your homework, because you'd flunk. She said the DNA chain of a child has a long end on it. I'm going to mess that up. So, but she said there's evidence that shows if you write regularly, like a gratitude journal, you can extend your DNA code, whatever, and kind of extend your life. So I got a text after we said writing down things you're grateful for every day. This is from a dear friend who said, good morning, thank you for that great tip. Anytime I go to MD Anderson or a doctor's appointment, my blood pressure skyrockets and I have anxiety. I'll start with the gratitude journal. Have a great weekend. You know, and that's true. There are things in your life that spark anxiety.
Right.
And cause
right.
you to have, you know, feelings of, oh my gosh, doom and gloom. And once you have to deal with it on a regular basis, you're like, well, let me start with that because it'll change your outlook. And I did it today. Let's see if I can keep doing it. We'll see.
And I know people that do like a prayer journal.
Yes, yes.
And you physically write out
mm-hmm.
prayers and prayer requests.
What you're praying for today. Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And it really does make a difference. I'm hoping that I can keep the habit up. You know, you have good intentions and you start and you work on something.
Right. Well, sure.
I'm hoping I can do it because it can be simple as like one of mine says, I'm a good writer. I wrote that down. I'm a good writer. I'm grateful for that.
And Aaron, the fact that you take joy in the small things.
Yes. Yes.
Appreciate the small things like that.
Wrote another one down you'll appreciate. My fresh corn was delicious. We both were eating fresh corn last night.
Aaron, I was afraid. I had 6 ears of corn in the pot.
Mm-hmm.
I was afraid I was going to eat them all. It was so I really was. My wife, Dina, was working at the Humane Society, so
right.
she wasn't going to get home until 8 o'clock. I'm
yeah.
like, I got to save her some corn.
Oh,
I got to stop.
So good. It is so good. It's a, you know, it's one of those things I'm just grateful for. And, you know,
right.
you don't, the little things in life, the small things, and you don't realize, hey, you got things really good. You got things really good. And then it helps you deal with the doom and gloom things that do pop up in your life. Because we all have doom and gloom things that pop up. You just never know. Can we sure. tell what happened to you yesterday? Holy cow. Okay, I'm not going to tell. Because I was like.
Well, we don't have time.
Things,
we don't have time to get
things happen.
Right.
You know, and you're like, ugh, what a hassle.
Well, I lost my glasses on the motorcycle.
Oh, no.
And a pen fell out of my pocket on the interstate.
Ugh.
That's, you know, that's what
Oof,
happened.
They're gone.
Yeah, because...
You went back to try to find them?
Yeah,
they're gone.
Gone.
You just never know when crap like that happens in your life. You just never know, and it can happen, and you know what? You deal with it, but think of all the things that are good in your life.
Absolutely.
When those lousy things happen, you go, yeah, it was my glasses, it was a pen.
And probably 90% of what you're worried about isn't that big of a deal.
Yes.
When you look at the big scheme.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's not that big of a deal.
You're absolutely right. Tomorrow's Friday. I'm excited.
See, take joy in it.
One more day, Ruben will be back Monday.
I hope he's had a good time.
Me
really
too.
Do. I hope he's taking advantage of being able to get some rest.
You bet.
And taking some time off because it is. It helps. Boy, it does help you.
Absolutely. So, no doubt.
Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, and on the free Keel.